Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
In West Africa, the time is 7:05. Here in Bonn, Germany, it's 8:05. Good morning and welcome to this edition of Africa Link. My name is Mark Caldwell. Coming up, following the death of Michael Sata, Zambia now has an acting president.
Guy Scott is going to be an acting president in Zambia for the next 90 days, in which new elections are going to be held for the president.
We'll also be looking at the legacy of the late president.
Michael Sata, as president of this republic, will be remembered as one of the vicious politicians who fought so hard to get the position of the president.
And land grabbing as a new form of colonization? For that story, we'll be going to Johannesburg. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Zambian Vice President Guy Scott was appointed acting president on Wednesday after the death in London of President Michael Sata. Scott is Zambia's first white leader since independence from Britain half a century ago. The cause of Sata's death was not immediately disclosed. Named King Cobra because of his sharp tongue, Sata had been ill for some time. Our correspondent in Lusaka, Kathy Sikombe, has been telling my colleague, Isaac Mugabe, how the country is preparing to pick a successor.
Guy Scott is going to be acting president in Zambia for the next 90 days, in which new elections are going to be held for the president, called presidential by-elections. And during this period, the ruling party and other opposition parties are expected to come up with candidates that will stand. And also the issue of whether Guy Scott will stand as president are still very, very questionable because of his foreign parentage. He comes from Scotland, and there's still that clause in the current constitution that does not allow someone whose parents were born outside Zambia to rule the country.
What is the general mood in Zambia after the death of President Michael Sata?
There is a somber mood all around the country. I've been able to speak to relatives, friends, and colleagues, and really they are shocked. I think at first when the news started flocking in, people did not believe for a few hours until it was officially announced, I think after 2 or 3 hours. So generally people are very, very sad that the president has passed on. And then I heard also some comments on the streets where some people were like, okay, we should stop voting for old presidents. Where are the young people? So really, it's a very, very sad situation. After celebrating 50 years of independence, you can imagine how the mood has all of a sudden just turned around.
President Sata had been ill for some time, so the news wasn't exactly unexpected. Has it still come as a shock?
The last time people saw him in public was, I think, the mid of September, when he gave an official address to the National Assembly. And during that time, people were thinking, okay, now he's coming out in public. And so there was some hope that maybe he would recover. But one thing that I could say, even personally, is that when the president was addressing Parliament, I could not even recognize his voice. And I was actually still waiting for the president to speak when he had actually already spoken. So meaning that even his voice had gone.
Kathy, you are currently in Zambia's Copperbelt region. How have people around you there been reacting?
Kitwe and the Copperbelt region as a whole is a stronghold for the ruling Patriotic Front. And they regard President Michael Sata as their own because they speak the same language as he did. So it's sort of, I think, having lost a family member.
Kathy Sikombe talking to Isaac Mugabe. McDonald Chipenzi is a Zambian political analyst and executive director of the Zambia Foundation for Democratic Process. I asked him what Michael Sata would be remembered for.
We mourn with the nation the demise of our president. Michael Sata, as president of this republic, will be remembered as one of the vicious politicians who fought so hard to get the position of the president. When he formed this party in 2001, people thought that this party was going nowhere, but it's one of the first few politicians who formed a party in 3 months before elections and be able to win a seat at parliamentary level and several of them at local government level. He was a fearless politician. He was confronting issues the way they are. He was a very humorous person. I think you'll be remembered for being one of the politicians that did a lot of politicking throughout his life. Even when people were saying bad things about him, he never looked down, but he faced the earth right in its face.
Did he move Zambian democracy forward?
Well, I think in terms of his leadership, he missed an opportunity to leave a legacy of giving the Zambian people an opportunity to have a new constitution. Secondly, he missed an opportunity to fulfill most of his promises. Some of them is to do with the pro-poor policies that he had promised Zambians, that they have more money in their pocket, there will be employment, and indeed he will be able to reduce poverty in the rural areas. Of course, he had done much in terms of road infrastructure and also dividing the country into districts. But that has come also with a cost to the government of the day, or even the government that will take over from him, that so much debt that has been collected under the 3 years of his leadership.
How will his death affect Zambia's relations with the rest of Southern Africa and with foreign investors?
Well, it shall depend on how his cabinet will manage the transition. That will determine the fate of this country in terms of international relations, in terms of investment, investors' confidence, and even in terms of how our currency will stabilize. I think they have a duty, a mammoth task for that matter, to ensure that the stability of the country remains a priority, and indeed politics not played in order to instigate instability.
Political analyst McDonald Chipenzi. You're listening to Africa Link for West Africa, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
In Kenya, thousands of lawyers are offering Kenyans legal advice free of charge for 5 days. As well as helping the impoverished, the project also aims to increase public awareness of the legal system and how it works. James Shimanyula attended the opening of this unusual program.
70,000 lawyers are advising the public on the legal processes involved in handling cases related to issues of land, succession and violation of human rights. They are also freely educating the public on family and criminal law, as well as employment and accident compensation. In the capital, Nairobi, the program was officially opened by Kenya's Chief Judge Willy Mutunga.
We're looking at the whole issue of access to justice holistically. We are here to support it because it's a great idea, giving free legal aid all over the country, helping the poor and the powerless, those who can't afford the legal fees.
One of the first Kenyans to benefit from the free legal services was housewife Erika Obala. The 44-year-old resident of Eastleigh area east of the Kenyan capital Nairobi was overjoyed to hear her case taken up by the chief judge personally.
Somebody came to claim the land is belong to him, and he came with policemen and blow tear gas and beat mother. So I'm happy to be helped here because I know I will not be charged anything here. The help given us today, it is a miracle because we didn't know that we will be attended by Chief Justice.
In Kenya, the lowest amount that a lawyer charges a client is about $400, a fee that ordinary Kenyans cannot afford to pay. Also present at the opening of the program was the chairman of the Law Society of Kenya, Eric Mutua, who emphasized the importance of lawyers coming out in the open to undertake work voluntarily without payment.
Every time we receive complaints, we receive inquiries from the members of the public, and we respond appropriately. We have taken one step forward to demonstrate to the public that indeed this is what we do.
26-year-old Samson Omamo Chief Executive Officer of the Kenya Students of Law Association, says the free legal assistance has come at the right time.
This will help people who cannot afford legal fees to be represented pro bono. This means that an advocate takes your case and helps you through the legal process free, and this will help you solve your case as soon as possible to avoid the delay of justice.
That report was compiled by James Shimanyula in Nairobi. Is large-scale land acquisition in Africa by multinational companies a new form of colonization? That idea was debated at the first Africa Conference on Land Grab, which comes to an end in Johannesburg today. Our correspondent Tuzo Kumalo has the details.
Land and environmental experts, civil society organizations, gathered this week in Johannesburg to discuss the impact and solutions of what they have termed as land grabs by international companies and corrupt government officials. Dr. Blessing Karumbiza, an independent researcher and lecturer at the Durban University of Technology, told delegates at the conference that the large-scale land acquisition, which is displacing millions of vulnerable communities and farmers in Africa by multinational companies with the consent of the state, is the latest form of colonization. He tabled a research showing that over 55 million hectares of African land has been grabbed in this way since 2000.
The problem with these projects is they are billed, suggested and advanced as solutions to Africa, when they actually are means and methods of robbing Africa again for their own benefit, not for the local benefit.
Karumbiza warned that these deals that have seen countries like China also getting involved will be difficult to reverse due to legally binding lease agreements being signed by these companies. Professor Shadrack Kuto, director at the Center for African Renaissance, warns that South Africa is also experiencing massive land grab both in urban and rural areas.
South Africa is sitting on a time bomb and the population is growing. And the more it grows and available land becomes less and less, it may lead to a lot of strife in the future, but we also need to preserve the land for future generations, not just for now, but the way people are using land, it is like now or never.
Milani Adam, the spokesperson for the organizers of the conference, says the conference has been an eye-opener and hope the African governments will think harder before entering into land deals with foreign companies.
A number of key things have surfaced. Is the fact that land deals are shrouded in secrecy, is the fact that there has been a great propensity for conflict as a result of secret and corrupt land deals.
He bemoaned the absence of government representatives at the conference, but hoped that the resolutions of the conference will reach their ears.
Tuzo Kumalo reporting. And now, here on Africa Link, it's time to find out what the Crossroads generation has been up to.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello again. Glad to have you back for Crossroads Generation, our radio drama about a group of young Africans.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for Generation.
We've just started our third season. Last time, Mercy and Trudy seemed to be enjoying their first day at university. And they made a new friend, Tina, who is studying journalism with them. Mercy earned herself a brand new nickname when her mother called her in the middle of their first lecture.
All mobile phones should be switched off during my class. Is that clear?
Okay. Sorry, Professor.
So what is journalism? You sitting next to Miss Rington.
Nikki Jumbe, who used to go to high school with Mercy and Trudy, is studying health and nutrition at the same university. We also met Mercy's family again. Her mother, Lulu, is looking after Mercy's little daughter, Linda, while Mercy goes to university. Lulu threw Mercy's father, Msoto, out a long time ago.
My wife, please. I am so sorry I sold our baby girl to Mkaraba. But they've said we have a real chance of getting her back.
Go, Msoto, before I call the police.
Right.
and don't come back here again.
But Msoto has come back. What does he want? We're about to find out in today's episode, A Changed Man.
So, Msoto, the boys have gone out and Linda's asleep. Tell me, what brings you here from whatever hole you've been hiding in for the past 3 years?
Lulu, I see you have a TV these days. Your vegetable business must be doing well, huh?
My business is none of your business, Msoto. Why are you here? You went to stay with the Jumbe family after the police released you 3 years ago. And then you disappeared to look for work up country. So why on earth have you come back now?
Is she Masis? The little one on the bed?
Msoto, what do you want?
Can't a man visit his wife without wanting something?
I told you years ago, I'm not your wife anymore.
Well, I haven't seen the divorce papers, so as far as I am concerned, you're still my wife.
Is that what brought you all the way from God knows where?
Lulu, I have to tell you, since I became enlightened by the Almighty King Karubu, I'm a changed man.
A changed man indeed. A man who doesn't even know his own grandchild. Spare me this nonsense. And who's this king you're talking about?
King Karubu is the...
Oh, why did I even ask? Look, I don't have time for this. Leave us alone.
I came to testify against Mukaraba.
What?
I'm not allowed to talk about it, as the investigations are still ongoing. But Inspector Mary contacted me and offered me a deal. She said she can't promise anything for sure, but that it looks good and that...
What deal, Msoto?
I testify against Mukaraba in return for immunity and a chance to get our baby back.
You dare to talk to me about our baby who you sold to that man Mukaraba all those years ago?
We needed the money.
You needed the money for drink.
But...
Out. Go on, get out.
Come on.
Get out.
Lulu, please.
Get out.
Nikki, it's nice that you came to visit me here at home. How's university?
Fine.
Let me turn on the radio. I'd like to listen to that new program on the elections.
Okay, Dad.
Please give me some water, Nikki. I'm so thirsty today. Oh, thank you.
Have you finished eating already?
Yes. You know, I'm on my diet.
But, Dad, I told you...
Let me listen to this.
A debate in which the election candidates explain their agenda to you, the voters.
This sounds interesting.
Today, we are privileged to have with us an aspiring member of parliament for the community of Tandika in the upcoming elections, the Honorable Moses Mukaraba.
Mukaraba.
Mr.
This
Mukaraba
man just can't
has declared
get enough.
His interest
Dad.
In standing for the Tandika parliamentary seat in the elections in 3 months' time. Huh? The question we are asking him today is why he thinks he's qualified to lead us. Mr. Mukaraba?
Well, I have been a councillor before, of course. The people of Tandika have already seen what I've done for them.
What has he done?
But why should we trust you with our vote?
I will fast track the construction of roads, improve the education system, and fight against corruption and illegal
businesses. Fight corruption, indeed.
And those are just some of my plan. I also intend to improve the security of the people of this country. I will fight
always the same promises. I can't listen to it anymore.
Dad, just calm down.
Hey, Marcy. Or should I say Miss Rington? What did our professor say again about the definition of journalism?
Trudy, if you insist on calling me that, I won't tell you a thing.
Come on, Rington. Help out a friend.
For your information, Tina, my friends call me Marcy.
Mm. Okay. Oh, hang on. I remember it now.
Mm-hmm. What?
Journalism is the art of gathering and disseminating information.
Yeah, wrong.
What? No way.
You forgot to add something. Gathering and disseminating information to a mass audience.
Ah, I was so close.
Mm-hmm. Serves you right for not taking notes.
Hey, you're the one who got a phone call during the lecture.
Listen, you two are the ones interrupting my private time in my room. I have to catch the bus to my mom's place. I need to see Linda. And at this time of day, the journey could take hours. I really need to get going.
Yeah, I'm going to go home too. I live an hour away from the university. My brother and sisters will be waiting for me already.
No, no, no. Come on, you two. Marcy, your daughter is just fine with her grandmother. I have a better idea.
What?
Let's dance! Don't you have some music here, Marcy?
Dance?
Yes!
You girls clearly have too much time on your hands. You need something to keep you busy. A job or something.
Yeah, you're right, Marcy. I hate it that all we do is sit and take notes. We need to put what you're learning into practice. No thanks. I already have a job.
What job?
What job, Tina? None of your business.
Hey, ringtone! Your boyfriend's calling.
Oh, who's your boyfriend? Is he the father of your child?
No! That guy took off a long time ago. My boyfriend's called Nikki.
Oh.
But that's not him. I don't know this number.
Really?
Hello? Dad? What? Where are you? Here at the university? Well, I don't have much time. Okay. I don't believe this.
Your dad? I thought he left a long time ago.
Well, it seems he's back and he wants to see me.
Hi there. A bottle of soda, please.
There you go. Shall I open it for you?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I just need something to drink while I wait for my daughter. She's at the university here.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Mercy, my daughter. Come here, give me a hug.
I don't know.
You look good. I am very proud of you.
Wow. You never told me that before. Where have you been all this time, Dad?
Up country, but now I'm back in town.
Just like that?
Well, I came back because of your sister.
My sister?
Mercy, you are an adult now, and I don't think we should keep this from you anymore. Your baby sister didn't die after your mother gave birth to her. She's alive, and
I know. You sold her. Mom told me everything back then. So unless there's anything else you have to say, just leave me alone.
Hey, Mercy. Hey, wait. Did your mother also tell you that she was part of the plan?
What?
Mercy can't believe her ears. Is her father telling the truth? Be sure to tune in next time to find out how the story continues. Link up with us on dw.de/LBE if you want to know more about Crossroads Generation. You can also follow us on Facebook. Until then, bye for now.
And there'll be more from the Crossroads Generation at this time on Monday here on Africa Link. A reminder of our main stories before we leave you. Guy Scott has been appointed acting president of Zambia following the death in London of President Michael Sata. Thousands of Kenyan lawyers are offering their services free of charge for 5 days. And delegates at a conference in South Africa have been warning that land grabbing could trigger civil strife or even war if left unchecked. We welcome your comments on this programme. You can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de. That's feedback.africa@dw.de. A letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Or a text message to country code 49 160 957 59510. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.